This is Bronco Monday. We'll discuss the most recent Boise State game and the upcoming schedule. Now here's Paul Jay, Chris Walton, and the voice of the Broncos, Bob Beeler, on 670 KBOI.
All right, KBOI News Time, 8:39. It's a Bronco Monday. Bob Beeler joins Chris Walton and me. Nice win for Boise State. Not as easy as it looked like it was going to be. A couple of 17-point leads went by the wayside, but a nice win over a Pac-12 team.
And first time since 2011 that the team is 2-0. Team now 9-3 against the Pac-12 since 2006. I think that's pretty impressive right there.
It's an odd statistic. They haven't been 2-0 since Kellen Moore.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. Yeah.
Well, a couple years, you lost to Joe Southwick's first game after Kellen Moore was Michigan State.
Michigan State.
You go to Ole Miss one of the years in Georgia, so there's a loss there. You open the season at Washington that one year, and then you lose there. So, and then last year was week two that the loss came against BYU.
Yeah.
So, but
amazing.
I tell you, defensive strategy, and I think one of the things about college football, offenses are like Baskin-Robbins. There's 31 flavors. Everybody has a different flavor, and this may be pistachio or whatever with Washington State. But this may be a game plan you'll never see again for Boise State. They normally are pretty aggressive on defense. They made and I think to some point last year, over-aggressive. They committed too much. And I thought that the idea of, you know what, we're going to rush three guys, we're going to cover eight, we're going to keep everything in front of us, and we're going to tackle extremely well. I thought the one play where there was a pass for 50 yards and maybe the 33-yard pass.
Two of them,
and they both go for touchdowns. But what I'm saying is I don't think many times people either got behind Boise State, and I thought the linebackers who were in the middle designed to make those tackles at the front row, I thought the three linebackers that all had 10 tackles or more were outstanding.
Yeah, I can't believe that some of the defensive backs and linebackers finished the game chasing those little guys all over the field. I mean, it was incredible.
Yeah.
And the game plan, after about halfway through the first quarter, everybody started looking at each other in a press book going, they're only rushing three.
Yeah.
And you know, the quarterback had 6-7 seconds to throw the ball sometimes. But he completed it for 8 yards.
Yeah,
a couple of hidden things that I thought in the game were big. Washington State had the ball in Boise State territory, three of their first four possessions.
Mm-hmm.
They dominated the total possessions and total yards easily.
They
had an interception for a pick six on the first drive.
Mm-hmm.
They had a punt once they got into Boise State territory. They got knocked back on their second drive. And then there was a blocked field goal. So three out of four times they got into Boise State territory, they did nothing in the first half.
Right.
And then one that got them back in the game, unfortunately, was when Boise State was trying to salt things away. You have a after the whistle, play continues, you hit somebody after the whistle, and instead of, you know, having the ball where you have, what, a 2nd and 7 or something like that coming up where you still can run the ball, still milk time, you lose 15 yards, the down counts, and all of a sudden you're behind the 8-ball. Rippon decided to throw, checked into that on that crazy play where Washington State had 10 guys on the field and then they had 11.
The guy goes right into the pass pattern. That's ridiculous.
That was great. That may have been the best defensive play of the game for Washington State.
Okay, here's what you do. You run onto the field late, right into the pass pattern.
And it was Charleston White that got the interception. But all in all, I thought it was an entertaining game.
Very exciting.
Boise State needed to do what it did to win. I didn't think the offense fired on all cylinders as much as I thought they would, although there were times I thought they looked brilliant. I think Washington State's defense was underrated a little bit, and I think Boise State's defense certainly was underrated coming in. I think we didn't know what to expect out of the secondary or the defensive line. I thought both of them played pretty well. And you know, I thought, you know, a lot of times you'll say one guy out doesn't make a difference. Shalom Luani, who had the two interceptions, who was suspended for the Eastern Washington game, he might have made a difference for them in the Eastern Washington game.
Yeah, he might have. Once again, the Broncos allow no points in the first quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Boise State's outscored the opponents 28-0 in the first quarter, 52-10 in the first half.
And that really, Paul Jay, goes back to the bowl game. If you think of the last three games, the bowl game and the two games in the regular season, they have started quick, very quick.
And thanks to the defense this time. It's 8:43.
Now, back to Bronco Monday on the home of the Broncos, 670 KBOI.
All right, we are back. It is 8:45. talk a little bit about Boise State's defense. And you know, push comes to shove. I know Washington State had the ball twice as much as Boise State, time of the clock. They threw, what, 79 passes, and he got sacked once?
Mm-hmm. Once
in 79
dropbacks. No, I think it was
two.
Yeah.
Okay. I remember one. So he gets sacked two out of 79. Everybody's just frothing at the mouth and going, look how many points he scored.
Yeah.
28.
Yeah, which wasn't enough to win the game.
No.
After the game, on the post game, we talked to Coach Harsin and we asked him about the defense, the strategy of rushing only three, letting him complete passes and tackling.
Well, it worked. I think that's the whole key. How do you slow it down? They took a couple shots. You're leaving some one-on-one matchups, and they've got good wide receivers out there. So you have to continue to play that chess match. And I thought Coach Avalos and the defensive staff did that, where they were giving help to certain guys at times. And certainly we were hit on plays, and at the same time we made quite a few of our own. And you do have to come up and tackle. It's going to be a little bit of ball control when you do that, but we got them in some fourth downs. We stopped them in some fourth downs, and we were able to get the ball back.
Paul Jay stopped three fourth downs during the game, had a couple of big third down stops. Overall, I thought when the defense needed to come through, they did.
Yeah, Mike Leach after the game said, we were bullied. We were shoved around. We were weak. This team is weak. We need to get stronger. We're weak. And he went on and on. He had quite a tirade after the game.
Brian Harsin also spoke with us on the post-game show about the offense's matchup with Washington State.
You know, we've got to go out there and run the football and be able to hit our throws when we can. And, you know, we weren't able to do that. Their offense was on the field, but certainly we didn't help ourselves either. And that comes back to myself preparing these guys and making sure that our rhythm is flowing the way it needs to. And certainly we'll look at the tape there, but we got to do a better job of, in a couple plays, of executing, but at the same time helping these guys get into that rhythm.
I thought, and I think you said this too, I thought the offense would be better against Washington State. Washington State's defense was a little bit better than I thought they were.
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
I would agree with that. And, you know, you can't expect a touchdown every possession.
Nope.
I mean, basically had that in the first, half against Louisiana. You had the first 10 possessions, or the 10 possessions ripping were in. You scored seven times and you had a missed field goal. So, I mean, it's not going to be that easy. And especially, you know, Pac-12 teams have athletes. They have speed. You scored 31 points. Most games, and of course, seven came from the defense, but your group scored 31 points.
Yeah.
Most games, 31 points should be enough to win the game, and probably win the game by seven or more points.
Yeah.
Most games.
They had seven drives where they got 3 points.
Mm-hmm.
So, but, you know, they're playing a Pac-12 thing.
But the thing about
three of those were interceptions.
But the thing about Boise State's offense that you watch, and somebody will say, well, why are they running the ball when they're not getting that much? It's like chipping the rock.
Yep.
McNichols had 30 yards at halftime and really had trouble running the football.
Mm-hmm.
But by the third quarter, and maybe this is where Leach is talking about getting physical, he ended up with a couple of long runs. There was one drive where I thought he had two or three nice runs that ended up in a touchdown for him and for Boise State. So sometimes things take a little while to get going. But overall, I think this offense is still going to be magnificent.
I do too.
Wilson didn't do a whole lot. Spurbeck was there as always.
Seemed to really be throwing to Chaz Anderson
night. But maybe they were giving it to him. Maybe what they saw against Louisiana. I'm not astute enough to know, you know, how the coverages are playing in the secondary.
Open.
But he was the one that was open. And if you're Brett Rypien, you fire the ball to whoever's open.
Yeah. Bye this week.
I don't like one this early in the season. No. Just feel like you're getting into rhythm. I think the coaches probably don't like it either, but this is what Coach Harsin had to say about it.
I wish I could make those decisions. but certainly we'll take it. And you know what? We got to find a way to get better. We got to get stronger. We have to get in the weight room. And, you know, we're 2-0 right now, but we have a long ways to go. And not just as players, but as coaches. Everybody on this entire football team and as a part of it, we've got to get better. And that's certainly what this next week will be about. We're going to play another Pac-12 team at their home, and we've got to be a lot different football team than what we were tonight.
Oregon State, Paul Jay, came off a bye this week.
Right.
I don't think they're ideal. I think if you had scheduled a regular non-conference game, that game would be here. But because BYU is an independent, they need games later in the season when other teams are in conference play. Your other non-conference game goes on October the 20th. So I think this is a spot that you would have seen a non-conference game if you had scheduled somebody else.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's probably true. It's funny that one sentence about we got to get better, we got to get stronger, we got to get in the weight room. It's exactly word for word what Leach said in one of his sentences.
I think maybe everybody feels
you
that way.
You should be stronger now. Well, it's
but week three,
stronger.
I mean, there's a few injuries. Martirano, probably the most notable, that, you know, he didn't play in the game and leaded just as well. Jake Rowe. Week six, if you have a bye, you're talking about getting healthier. Week three, you're talking about getting stronger.
Yeah, exactly. After a while, you're just taking care. It's 8:51.
Now, back to Bronco Monday on the home of the Broncos, 670 KBOI.
All right, we are back by week. What do you got scheduled for this week, Bob?
Getting ready for Oregon State.
There'll be the Bahamas.
Yeah, that would be nice. Why don't we do it? Let's move the show there. We might do a coaches show if we were going to the Bahamas. Maybe others would want to go. No coaches show this week because of the bye week. It'll return next Thursday on 670 KBOI. Watching other games, and I think it's pretty clear that there's three teams in the Mountain West that are cut above the rest. Air Force, although hasn't really played anybody yet, they're undefeated. San Diego State held on to beat Cal, and that was a good win, even though it was at home. It was a very good win over Pac-12. Very similar win to Boise State. Both Mountain West teams were ahead the entire way, and the Pac-12 teams kept coming back, and the Mountain West teams found a way to win. But I think it's pretty clear.
Right,
the rest of the league has not helped the three teams at the top. The three teams at the top are going to have to get it done on their own. And the big game this week, as far as Group of Five is concerned, Thursday night, Houston is at Cincinnati. Cincinnati, probably one of the few teams on the schedule, certainly one of the only teams in the American that has a chance to beat them.
Yeah, and a short turnaround for Houston.
Same for Cincinnati. They both play.
Yeah, same for Cincinnati. In the conference, Arkansas State at Utah State on Friday. And then everybody else plays on Saturday.
Air Force has a bye like Boise State, so both of those teams will be off. Looking at the games, New Mexico, Rutgers, maybe New Mexico can get a Big Ten team. Yeah. Although they lost to New Mexico State, that was really disappointing.
That was terrible. Horrible.
San Diego State is at Northern Illinois. David is crying over there. I almost was crying. San Diego State goes to Northern Illinois, who has struggled. They're 0-2. The quarterback who got hurt partway through the year last year, Hare, the starter,
right,
did not play in the bowl game, is hurt again for them.
Oh, man. Yeah. So it'll be interesting. San Jose rolled up 66. They got Utah at their place. And
The only thing they can hope for is Utah had a little bit of a letdown after squeezing by BYU. And Hawaii's got another money game. They're going to Arizona. So
Arizona struggled against
Grambling.
Grambling. Had they lost that game, and they were behind most of the game, it would have been the biggest loss against the spread in the history of college football. In the history of college football.
What was the spread?
44 and
no,
a half
No, Georgia
points.
Losing the Nichols would have been worse than that.
Oh, yeah, 50. But that was over by then.
Wow. It was over, and Georgia won by two.
Yeah, it was over by then. How much were they favored by?
55.
Holy cow.
I watched the game, or most of it. They looked like they didn't care.
No,
they looked like they
too.
Just thought they could roll the ball out and win. They'll probably look great against Missouri next week.
Yeah, yeah. Rutgers hasn't played well, so New Mexico has a chance there.
Woo-hoo!
So, I think. Northern Colorado. Colorado State's been the biggest disappointment. Would you agree?
Yeah.
Yeah, they have.
They won against Texas San Antonio, but I expected them to be in the top half of the league, and so far they haven't shown that.
Nope, haven't. All right, no coaches show this week. Bob and I are taking a week off. Well, kind of.
Bronco Tuesday tomorrow.
Exactly. It's 8:56. Idaho Talks Live coming up.
If you're talking about it,
it's always about the money. Everything else is just conversation.
We're talking about it.
No excuses. Just find a way to get it done.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Chris Walton and Paul J. Schneider on the News and Talk of Idaho, 670 KBOI.
Yeah, it's good. Now your earphones work and mine don't.
Oh, is that right?
Thanks a lot. That's why they had the tape over there.
Mine got turned way down.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
All right. Top of the morning, Paul J. and Chris. I just noticed the thing, the 1 to 28 ratings that are done on USA Today Sports. Boise State is number 13.
So number 13.
And that's a computer ranking?
Mm-hmm.
Number 13 know. Computer mm-hmm. rankings, but in the ones where the humans vote, we're 30 and 31.
Yeah, exactly.
Is it working?
Wow. You have really screwed up my ears.
How have I done that?
Well, you changed your thing there. And okay, I'm good now. Okay. Don't touch
all right,
anything.
All right. I won't touch anything.
All right, Hillary Clinton.
Sick.
Pneumonia. Trump sent her a get well card.
Is that right?
He did.
It was kind of interesting because he told his people not to say anything derogatory about her.
Yeah. Yeah. He did.
Which is absolutely brand new.
Yeah. The other thing.
Well, and Bob wrote in to ask the same question that you guys did this morning. Can someone explain why Hillary is talking with a child when she has pneumonia? Maybe you've seen the picture after she emerged from fainting.
Yeah.
I guess she was giving hugs to children and things like that.
I wasn't aware pneumonia was that contagious.
Very contagious.
So, my wife had pneumonia. I didn't get it.
Hmm.
Doesn't mean you'll get it. It just means it's contagious.
Maybe you're immune.
Hmm. So, we'll be watching that kid. Is that what you're saying, huh?
Probably.
Miss America, Savvy Shields from Arkansas. Idaho, Miss Idaho made the final 15.
Not bad.
I used to really be into that when I was a kid.
Well, yeah. And
a hormonal teenager.
And
I used
generally,
to really be into that.
Generally, year after year after year, the only time we could catch a glimpse of Miss Idaho is if you watched the very beginning of the show.
Yeah. She would be when they showed everybody.
Right.
She would be on for her 3 seconds. But a little pub yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good. Number one at the box office, I saw a lot of people, talked to a lot of people who saw this because we did a show on Friday at the movie theaters.
Right. Sully?
Yeah, Sully. And when we got done, people were coming out of that raving about it. 33.5 million opening weekend.
What do you think is the appeal of that movie? I mean,
they just say it was damned exciting.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, it's a true-to-life emergency, a true-to-life almost disaster, just like Apollo 13, and starring the same guy, Tom Hanks.
But I
used to think Tom Hanks could, just get people to come to the theater no matter what he played
dictionary.
In.
Yeah.
And then I saw, what was the one where they had like 4 or 5 stories from different times? Cloud Atlas.
Yeah.
That was a little weird.
Yeah.
And The Terminal wasn't great.
Yeah, I've watched
Lady
it,
Lady Killers
though.
Wasn't that good.
No, he had some bombs.
Yeah, that's true.
According to the ComScore audience survey results, 82% were older than 25. 39% said Tom Hanks was their primary reason for seeing it.
Okay.
If Hanks ran for president, he'd win. He's developed such a reputation, consistently doing great work. And a lot of them said Clint Eastwood was one of the reasons they went.
Is that right? Oh, because he directed it.
Yeah.
Well, to it, his movies he directs tend to be kind of gritty in a way that I think people his age really enjoy.
Yeah.
You know, young punks.
Yep. When the Bow Breaks, Rotten Tomatoes got a 0. A 0.
Well, somebody went to see it.
Number 2, 15
yeah.
million.
Well, and this is what's funny.
They call
to movies,
counter-programming.
Yeah. To movies, this is Halloween season.
Yeah.
You know that?
Yeah.
It's the 1st of September, and it's Halloween season.
Yep. True. True stuff.
Apparently, the fall is just a scary time.
Yeah.
Probably because you have to rake leaves.
Yeah. We kind of brought you up to date because, you could go to a movie next week if you so desire. Or you could
that's a good point.
Yeah.
I can do that.
Yeah, and we can do that.
Because there's no football game this weekend.
David's going to go see Sully. I think I might as well. And I know you're going to stay home and watch whatever's on HBO.
More than likely, yeah.
Yeah.
No, actually, we don't have HBO anymore, so probably whatever's on TBS.
Whatever I can see through my neighbor's window with my binoculars.
Yeah, they changed their...
Since I learned how to lip-read, I don't need HBO.
They changed their Wi-Fi password, jerks.
Yeah, doggone it. There's a lot of that goes on.
What's the other joke? My next-door neighbor, he's really paranoid. He wrote in he wrote in his diary that I have no boundary, or I have boundary issues.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I was the other day. Wi-Fi signals are so funny. The other day, I was getting a thing on my iPad, and it was saying that I needed to re-sign. So I tried to re-sign in and use the password. It wouldn't take it, wouldn't take it, wouldn't take it.
Really?
My wife came out and said, "That's not ours. You're not on ours."
I like my neighborhood because
ours starts with a 5-5, and this starts with a whatever.
I like my neighborhood because people just give their networks funny names or their Wi-Fi funny names. Like you'll see it come up, FBI surveillance van. You know, when it's just the guy across the street.
Yeah.
And he's not in a van.
No, it's so funny, but I am so awful on computers because I would never think of checking the number. I mean, it's the same service I have, so it's got to be mine, right? I'm in my house. Nope. Amazing. Highest paying jobs for high school graduates.
Doctor?
Well, we'll jump into those.
Oh, you mean if they don't have a college degree?
Yeah. Yeah, probably not too many. Yeah, I took doctoring in shop class. It's 9:14. We'll be back.
This is Idaho Talks Live. Today at 1, listen to Savage on 670 KBOI.
KBOI rewards code is sick. We were going to put pneumonia. Nobody here can spell it. All right, sick, S-I-C-K. Go to 670KBOI.com. Enter sick and earn today's 5,000 rewards points. I think pneumonia starts with a P. That's as far as I'm going to go. If you know the Paul J. KBOI KTIK Play of the Game, sponsored by Lock, Stock, and Barrel, you want to win a $50 gift certificate, call now at 336-3711. Play of the Game right now, 336-3711. All right, I'm going to pop up Gary and Emmett. Gary, good morning.
Good morning, Chris. Good morning, Paul.
Stop it, Hillary. Gary.
In a story about a married couple, he was a missionary and she's a nurse. I was trying to figure out which one that Hillary thinks is deplorable.
Apparently one.
Yeah. Well, with that happy note, I'll let you guys go.
Well, she's going to be telling...
Go ahead and hang up on us, Gary.
She's going to be telling individual people for some time that they're part of the half that she wasn't talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't mean you. I meant the other people who are like you.
Yeah. Let's go to John in Boise. John, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, how are you?
That was a little bit of a tight game there last night. I mean, Saturday night.
It seems like last night because we got over Sunday morning.
Yes, that is true. I was up. Anyway, a little thought here on Hillary with things that seems most people over 60 get a pneumonia shot. Anyway, I got mine.
You know, I got one last
10
year.
Years.
You've had it for 10 years?
Yeah, they last 10 years.
Oh, they do. No wonder I don't need another one.
Right. Anyway, the other thing I noticed here, and I can't remember what day it was, Monday or whatever, last week or towards the end of the week before, I don't know. Hillary was at a rally, and some demonstrator popped up, I guess, up front of her. They didn't show that person, so I don't know exactly where they were at. But said or yelled at her, I don't know, called her a liar or whatever, I don't know.
Heckled her.
She jumped down, you know, swooped down real quick and had an extremely terrified look on her face. And two of the agents come up, you know, looking, I don't know if they were looking to see what was going on. Or, and then her bodyguard came up and put his arm around, kept pulling over, telling her, "It's okay, keep talking, it's okay, keep talking."
Yeah, that's strange. I mean, that can't possibly be the first time that's happened to her.
I don't, yeah, that really,
she doesn't go
out
much.
I looked at that, and I'm wondering, what kind of a president is this going to be? You know, that gets terrified, somebody yells at her. So I just adding some things up. I don't like her anyway. But, you know, that a little paranoia or whatever, I don't know. But anyway, we have to wait 2 weeks for football.
Yeah, that's
so
cool.
Catch you later.
All right, thanks, John. It's movie weekend coming up.
You know, she the other day, I mean, the previous caller started that, Gary, by coughing.
Right.
You know, making fun of Hillary Clinton for that coughing spell that she had. And in that speech, she says, every time I think about Donald Trump, I get allergic. Ha ha, you know, get a big laugh.
Yeah.
But, I mean, what's she supposed to say now? Every time I think about Donald Trump, I get pneumonia?
I saw Jimmy, what's his name, on the Tonight Show?
Fallon.
Jimmy Fallon. They put, like, green smoke out when she was coughing like she was vaping. It was really funny. And they kind of indicated she might have been vaping.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah.
I doubt it, though.
No, probably not. All right, on the line, we have Beverly Norman, who thinks she knows what the Paul J. Play of the Game, sponsored by Lock, Stock, and Barrel, was. Beverly, what was it?
It was the pick six, Horton's 85-yard interception in return for a touchdown, bringing it to 7-0 with about 10 minutes left in the first quarter.
Wow. Let's see if you're right.
But I'm going to go with, you know, Captain Obvious here, Tyler Horton's 85-yard interception and a return for a touchdown.
All right.
Sound like you got that right, Barb.
Sounds great. Thank you.
Congratulations. Enjoy your meal at Lock, Stock, and Barrel. $50 gift certificate. You can have a nice meal.
Will do. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks, Beverly.
Listen to you next time.
All bye-bye. Right. Bye-bye. Nice. Hope you got her information. I just hung up on her.
People are speculating. You know, if something does happen to Hillary Clinton between now and November.
This election has more twists and turns.
Democrats are speculating, okay, who would step in?
Well, the vice president,
right? Okay, would it be Tim Kaine,
yeah,
her vice presidential nominee, or would they choose somebody else? And other names that have come up, Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders. I guess you just throw out whatever she did.
What's the protocol for that?
I don't know. Has anyone ever been nominated and died before the election before?
We've had some guys that have gone into office sick.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they went into office. I don't know. I am not sure.
Yeah.
You would. It's not like she, I mean, it's not like she dies.
Well.
So the vice president doesn't. That's an interesting question.
Well, yeah,
too.
And well, I mean,
I don't know.
I guess the Democrats could do whatever they wanted to in that case, because
probably.
if the person they nominated is unable to run for the office or take office, then I suppose they could go to her running mate, or they could just have another convention, a small one, probably.
But don't states have? I could be wrong here. Don't they? Don't you have to be on a state ballot a certain number of days before the election?
There are a lot of rules.
I mean, there are a lot of rules, and the elections are run by the states, not by the federal government.
Yeah.
So it could be a thing where she would be eligible in Iowa, but not in Idaho.
I found that interesting, though, because even some prominent Democrats who really shouldn't be sounding the alarm bells at this point.
Yeah, they shouldn't.
You know, if they're on the party line and everything, but they're sounding the alarm bells and trying to decide, you know, if the worst case scenario happens, who gets to be the new Democratic nominee?
Man, it's like buzzards. KBOI News Time, 9:26.
This is Idaho Talks Live. Today at 3, listen to Nate on 670 KBOI.
We are back. KBOI News Time, 9:36. Got a lot of phone action here on the Democratic thing. Now, Dave tells me the Democratic National Committee.
That makes sense.
Appoints who would replace.
Yeah, because you can't really put
someone
together.
When a candidate dies or is unable to continue.
Yeah, you can't really put together another convention.
No.
But you can have a meeting of the DNC, and then they can just choose somebody. James and Meridian wrote in to say in 6 months we might be saying, who is President Kaine?
Yeah, I don't know if they pick him or not.
The funny part of that is people keep saying that they don't want to vote for Hillary Clinton or they don't want to vote for Donald Trump. And so they're going to vote for the other one, or they're going to vote for Gary Johnson or, you know, somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And this would be the perfect opportunity to pick a third party that no one's, you know, been thinking about.
All right. Now, let me ask you a question.
Here's someone that we
let
think
me ask
is
you a question.
Fairly sensible and rarely lies and hasn't insulted anyone.
I need
anyone.
To ask you a question.
Okay. I will give you an answer.
All right.
All right.
Strategy? Campaign strategy at work here? Seeing those numbers sliding away?
Doubtful.
Huh? Huh?
I don't know. I don't know.
Unable to continue because of ill health and then makes a miraculous recovery in 6 months?
I think everyone would go along with that except Hillary Clinton.
Interesting, though. I see, I'm writing a movie script as okay. we sit here. It'd be good.
I just don't see her as dropping out because, as far as I'm concerned, her whole life has been, she's been waiting to be the president.
But she might be going, man, this is more than I bargained for. Let's go to Scotty in Middleton. Scotty.
Good morning.
Morning.
One of the leading newspapers over in Britain, the Daily Express, on Friday morning forecast what was going to happen to Hillary.
And they said?
And also, another mystery that puzzles me, why did they take her to her daughter's house? When they could have taken her to a hospital.
Well,
are they trying to find something out?
Probably for privacy, I guess.
Yeah, for privacy, I would assume.
Was it her personal physician?
Yes.
Now, the doctor that attends her is a colored gentleman. You'll probably see him. He's heavy set, and he's posing as a Secret Service guy, but he's actually a doctor.
But he's always around, then.
He's always at her back, and he was the guy that helped her into the van when she collapsed.
Is this going to make a difference to people?
Well, it'd make a difference to me, because the forecast in the newspaper from the UK that she's only got 18 months to live.
Really? That's what they said?
I'll tell you what I'll do, gentlemen. I will send the report to you guys.
Okay.
I've got the whole report, and I'll send it over to you if you want to read it and maybe come to some conclusion of your own. But they say, now this is the Daily Express, that she is suffering from Parkinson's disease.
What was it the Daily Express nailed a couple of months ago?
I beg your pardon?
The Daily Mail nailed Prince's death.
Oh, Prince, so, yeah. They
it was the
gave
Daily,
the,
yeah,
the cause of Prince's death 2 days before anybody in this country did.
Yeah, that was the Daily Mail, right?
Yep.
Daily Mail, yeah.
What would happen in this country, as I keep telling you folks, we don't get told the truth. I mean, your news service here, as far as newspaper, as what they would say over in Saudi Arabia, is zif. That means it's bad. But that's how, I mean, I'll be honest with you. I don't read any of the local news. Well, I'll read the local newspaper. But as far as the news service itself, it's just it's garbage, being honest with you.
All right. Thanks, Scotty.
I
wonder why
Parkinson's doesn't necessarily kill you right away.
No.
I mean, obviously, Michael Jackson, yeah, he had his own problems. Michael J. Fox was diagnosed more than 20 years ago, and he's still around. And I was just talking to my dad about this yesterday. My grandfather was diagnosed in probably the early 50s, and he lived until the 70s.
Yeah, my dad had Parkinson's, and it did. I mean, he died when he was 70. He smoked until he was like 68, and then he quit smoking. He had all these other problems. Lived till he was 75, 76 years old, but Parkinson's wasn't what killed him. So I don't. And he had it for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to Hank in Boise. Hank, good morning.
Good morning. I might point out the last time that a Republican, that any party replaced a candidate before election was James Sherman. He was William Howard Taft's vice president. He died 2 weeks before the election, so they replaced him with Charles Fairbanks, who was Teddy Roosevelt's running mate in 1904. Now, getting on to the other thing about Hillary's health, before I also address the question of Hillary's tactics, first thing is that everybody's saying Parkinson. I'll point out another historical parallel. Franklin Roosevelt, who was suffering from cardiovascular disease, in fact, falling, had the same problems. His hands shook in his last years. If you look at the old newsreels, his hands shook, his head shook. And this is from insufficient blood circulation in the head. She has a history of blood clots in the brain already. She also, her father, or she also has a family history of circulatory problems. Her father, Hugh Rodden, died from hypertensive heart disease. Although he died of a stroke, it was from it was a complication from an underlying hypertensive disease. And so I would argue that even though that there's problems of dieting from distance, I think that it's more likely to be something involving her circulatory problems.
Is this going to change anybody's mind about voting? Because I don't see people who are really supporting Hillary Clinton saying, well, you know, her health is bad, so let's vote for Donald Trump.
No, it's not going to happen.
Yeah. Now, my other point I was going to drive at, as far as her statement about Trump supporters being deplorable, that doesn't change anybody's vote. The problem with this election that makes this election hard to predict is the polls, I don't think are that inaccurate in terms of Hillary's got an edge, but the enthusiasm factor is a factor in this.
Yeah.
The blacks, for instance, to give an example, why she played that card up in the first place was to gin up the minority vote. In other words, by playing up the race card like she did and playing up the bigotry charge, she's trying to, because there's the lack of enthusiasm. The blacks will vote probably the same percentage as they had in past elections, but not by the same numbers. And that's the problem for Hillary.
Yeah.
This is what makes this election very, very iffy. The Trump supporters tend to be more enthusiastic and more or less likely to vote. The problem with her, the downside of her tactic is that this gives the Trump voters more reason to go out and vote.
All right. Good stuff. Thanks, Hank. Wow. Interesting today.
Back down to Paul Jay and Chris.
KBOI News Time, 9:49. Lots of phone action this morning. Let's go to Diane in Meridian. Diane.
Hey, guys. I have the same thing that Hillary does, hypothyroidism. And some of her symptoms are very familiar to me, and they're very disconcerting. All of the coughing can be from a goiter, from her not having the medication up high enough to be able to control that. Hmm. And as far as fainting goes and having a lot of weakness, that's also can be a symptom of her medication not being properly, I guess you'd say, dosed. And it's very difficult to do, very difficult. It can take months once you have an episode to get the proper dosage to come up. It's not like diabetes where you can just take a shot. Unfortunately, it takes a long time for the medicine to get into your system and to make changes and to be able to affect her health. Knowing what I know about it, I'm very concerned that she just has a disease that's too hard to monitor in her condition.
Hypothyroidism is where it barely works, right?
Yeah.
Correct.
Okay.
That's where you can go into something called a myodextoma that can actually kill you.
Wow.
Yeah, now my first wife, I know a little bit about this too. My first wife had thyroid problems. They ended up having to basically kill her thyroid, and then they put her on thyroid pills, which were fairly easy to regulate. But yeah, I used to come home and find her on the floor sometimes.
There you go.
Yeah, so it was very, very hard. Also, I saw somebody sent me an article. We get stuff from so many different places that's saying Hillary's taking rat poison. Yeah, Hillary's taking rat poison doing this. And, of course, what they're referring to is Coumadin, which I've been taking for 4 years. Hasn't killed me yet. And, you know, they used to use Coumadin in huge doses to make rats bleed to death, apparently.
They did, but they also said that Hillary's on armor thyroid, and that is not the first line of defense. They usually put people on Synthroid or levothyroxine. Mm-hmm. The only time they switch you over to armor...
Go ahead.
It's regulated by... And so that just says she's having even a harder problem with it.
Yeah. Okay, good stuff. Yeah. Thanks, Diane.
Appreciate the call.
Wow. Interesting. Let's go to Cliff in Napa. Cliff, good morning.
Good morning.
What do you think, Cliff?
Okay. I was thinking about the situation with
Hillary,
who would come in the office.
Yeah.
My thought would be extend the incumbent for up to 100 days while the committee, whoever that committee is, as mentioned before, would be able to find a replacement. Not that I like Obama or Trump or Hillary or any
hard
of those.
To find somebody these days, isn't it?
It is, yes. I would probably throw the name, it escapes me now, but the guy from Ohio. And I think he was on the Republican.
Oh, John Kasich?
Yes.
Yeah, I kind of doubt the Democrats will go after him. But yeah, I understand. Somebody like that. Yeah. Somebody more like that.
More like that, yes.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, okay. Cliff.
By the way.
Yeah.
I've had Parkinson's for 22 years.
There you go. Yeah.
Alive and kicking.
Yeah. Well done.
All right. Thanks,
when
Cliff.
I kick, I fall down.
Thanks.
All right.
Thank you.
Bob wrote in on a couple of different subjects. He says, once again, voting for a third-party candidate is like buying a lottery ticket with no numbers on it. That puts the S in stupid. Well, and see, I don't necessarily agree with that.
I don't
because
agree with that
if your attitude is simply you want your vote to go to whoever wins, then I suppose, yeah, that makes sense. But I don't always vote for who I think is going to win. I vote for who I want. And he said the guy was wrong about the flu shots. They are reformulated every year because the virus changes.
He wasn't talking about flu.
No, he talked about pneumonia shots.
Pneumonia shots are different than flu shots.
But not flu shots. And he said pneumonia shots last 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a different.
I didn't know that. I got a pneumonia shot a couple of years ago. I didn't know it lasted 10
so
years.
So apparently you don't need one right now.
Apparently not. Yeah. All right, let's go to Steve. Steve, you got about 45 seconds. Sorry,
hey, how
bud.
You guys doing today? Hey, you know, the thing is, bottom line, Paul J., this whole election year is not about Trump. It's about the people. Because any other election year, Trump would have been laughed off the stage. It's just the attitude and the sentiment of the people of the United States right now.
I would agree with that.
And Trump is the only one that's saying what people are thinking because nobody has ever had the guts to do it. And that's the only reason he's getting millions and millions and millions of votes. It's not because he's a great guy. It's because he's the guy at the right time for the attitude of the country. That's all.
Yeah, I agree with that. Thank you. Good stuff.
Which probably was the situation.
I think he's right. He would have no shot.
Well, it was probably the same situation 8 years ago. I mean, after 8 years of Republicans or 8 years of a Republican administration in the White House, George W. Bush, it was basically time for a Democrat. And so Barack Obama, you know, went past Hillary Clinton during the primaries.
Yeah.
Unexpectedly to a lot of people.
Yeah. Well, people want to change. Interesting to see what they get. I don't know. This is the strangest election.
I like change that's good, but not just for the sake of change.
True.